Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 13. Appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight. While you're turning to Matthew 13, I want to read a couple verses from Ecclesiastes, and probably most, hopefully everybody knows these verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, but go ahead and turn to Matthew 13, and I'll read these verses. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. And then that after going through the list of all the different times when there are times to do things, Bible says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And now we're in Matthew 13, verse 24, is what we're going to read. Many different parables. And again, I'm just picking a parable of Christ to look at tonight. I will say teach from, but to look at what Christ said and try to apply it a little bit to our lives. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. We're going to read the first part of this parable. Then I'm going to read a couple other scriptures as I talk about the introduction. Then we'll go through and read the rest of this parable. But right now, let's just read verse 24 through 26. Verse 24 says, Matthew 13, 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. We'll come back to that verse. I'm just going to go verse by verse as the outline and talk about this matter of growth. We talked about it a little bit tonight. Brother Gene talked about learning English again, and testimony about Brother Bob teaching a foreign language to many of us, but teaching music and growing. So all of us have areas we want to grow in. And some of us have areas, of course, we don't want to grow in, but there's areas where we want to get better than we are. And I'm not ashamed to say I'd like to grow to read my Bible more than I do, to pray more and know more needs than I do now. And that should be, and I know I have a long way to go, but maybe you don't have as far to go, but you still have a desire to grow beyond where you are now. And a lot of times we think about growth as only good. Sometimes it can be bad. But God said, and Jesus said, the master said in this parable, let both grow together, the wheat and the tares. And I remember when we were in college, the head guy, the guy in charge, would always say, problems are not for solving, they are there for growing. And that always made me think about a tree in our backyard when we lived in Davison. It grew to be about 3 or 4 feet, and then something got in its way. It wasn't there anymore, but something stopped it from growing straight, and it just bent at a 90-degree angle and then just kept growing out instead of up. Now I saw about that tree because that tree hit a problem, but it decided that it would keep growing. If trees get to make choices, but it just decided it was going to keep growing, either through the problem or around it, or what I assume another tree fell on it, but it just kept growing in the direction that got pushed into. And so that problems are not for solving, they're there for growing. It's not necessary for us to solve every problem. I remember again when Chantel and I were dating, somebody gave us that book. It's old now, but men are from Mars and women are from Venus, and it talked about how men like to solve problems. So if a girl's talking about her problems, the man's going to listen and say, all right, here's what you need to do to fix it. Fix this, fix this, fix that. But the same thing is true with God. Sometimes he gives us a problem to teach us something, like we're going to talk about tonight, the tares. And many times when we talk about growth, the purpose of something that's living, I'm thinking my son, Aaron, or our no-name kid that Chantel's having so far. The purpose of something that's alive is to grow. So if it's alive, if it's breathing air or taking in nutrients or however to the cellular level if you want to go, if it's taking in and it's living, its purpose is to grow. And sometimes we don't realize how much God is a part of that process. And if we realize it, sometimes we forget or neglect to tell God that we realize God is part of that growth process. So the question I want to ask is, does growth cause strength, or is it a result of strength? In other words, is it the thing that gets us the strength that we need, or is growth a product of the strength that we already have? And now I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there, but Paul was talking about himself, a man named Apollos, and other ministers in the Lord. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, or he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. So that's the first thing I want to draw out. God gives growth. God gives the increase. If we tell somebody about Jesus or pass out a tract or teach about circumcision or teach about other things in the Bible, God is the one that gives us the increase, and God applies it to our life. That's what Apostle Paul said. And then also in Philippians, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I've been instructed how to be full and be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All right, so if strength comes from Christ, or the things that we do comes from our strength in Christ, and God is the one that gives the increase, then I would figure that the growth is a result of the strength that God has given us. So the right kind of growth comes from the strength that God gave us. Here's my illustrations. I like chocolate chip cookies. I like to enjoy the final product of a chocolate chip cookie, and I could eat them all day. One time Dad sent me a care package, and he got one of those bulk packages of Chips Ahoy, and I loved them for a long time until I was all done and I didn't want chocolate chip cookies again. I like driving a car. I like having a car that works. I like reading a good book or even watching a good TV show or VeggieTales or something that somebody put some work into. But eating cookies doesn't make more cookies. And driving a car usually doesn't make a new car. And watching a good show or reading a good book doesn't usually produce another good show or good book. And a lot of times the growth is a byproduct of somebody else's strength. So some of us today, I know this is true, some of us are enjoying a byproduct of somebody else's strength. They're enjoying the growth, but they didn't figure out how to get the strength that was required to do it for themselves. And I know you could apply that to the country as a whole. You could probably apply it to our church. Some of the younger ones enjoy the freedom or the fellowship or the blessings that the older ones are happy to give them without realizing what it took to get those freedoms, blessings, or the fellowship that we enjoy, that we take it for granted. If you go somewhere else, it might not be there. It may not be that way. So strength produces lasting growth, and increased growth without increased strength would be called a disaster. And here's my example for that. If I fell and broke my leg, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you need to put on about 50 pounds, here's a bottle of Tylenol, and that'll help you out. That probably wouldn't be the best thing to do for somebody that broke their leg. They probably need the strength or the support of a splint or a cast, and they need time to heal. And probably the worst thing they could do is put more weight on a broken leg. If I found a building that was broken down and needed repair, the worst thing I could do would probably be put a facade on it and build three floors on top. So sometimes growth without strength is a disaster. So I'm thinking about my own family. I'm thinking about our church as a whole, and even at the things that I want to accomplish maybe in the next year or even the next day. Sometimes the growth without the strength that comes from God can be worse than if we never had the growth to begin with. Building a friendship, and this is one of the things. Today we have instant communication, and sometimes you can even watch it. You can watch two people converse and realize that they never really defined what they wanted their friendship to be. Sometimes you end up with a weak relationship because you never told the person, I need to vent, or I need to complain, or, you know, I'd say, I need you to be my friend right now. I need you to listen to me. And what Jesus, I believe, was trying to teach us is the growth that we do have, there are pros and cons, and if we don't have the strength that comes from God, as we'll find out, it could be more damaging to us than it could be helpful to us. All right, so now we'll go through it. Now I'm going back to verse 24, and we'll stay in this chapter. Another parable, the kingdom of heaven, verse 24, halfway through. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. So point number one, the seed is good. Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So the truth that we have, God's word, the strength that comes from God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, that is a good truth. That is good seed, just like the master threw out good seed. That truth is correct. And sometimes we get bogged down in the shade of truth or applying the truth, and maybe tonight, or the way we apply it to our life. But what we start with, the seed that we start with, is good seed that produces a good crop. It produces wheat, or it produces what it's supposed to produce, and that comes from God. And sometimes we focus on our own opinions, and we forget that the truth comes from God. I like not having an opinion. I like if somebody is mad about something I believe, it's not because it's my opinion. It's because that's what God told me we're supposed to believe. So that means he doesn't have a problem with me and my opinion. He has a problem with God. And I don't say that to be obnoxious, but just to say, I say that to myself. If I have a problem with something in God's word, it's not that I have a problem with my dad who might have preached it to me, or one of you who told me I need to shape up. I have a problem. It's between me and God. In Isaiah, it said, my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So the seed is good, and the one sowing the seed, the master, knows where it needs to go. And as long as we trust in God's provision and God's knowing where the seed, the truth, needs to go, we'll be all right. If we try to take what God has given us and use it for another purpose other than what God wants us to use it for, that would be what we call a cult, or taking a verse or two and saying, well, I believe this, and I base it on half of a sentence I have picked out of the book of Isaiah. If we take parts of the Bible and try to twist God's word or God's truth to fit what we want it to fit, then we can't expect it to return not void. We can expect it to not do what it's not going to do, because that's not God's purpose. Hope that made sense. But the seed is good. That's the main point. What God gave us to give to others is good. Verse 25, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And the point I want to point out in verse 25, while men slept. These were the master's servants, just in the context of the story. The master's servants needed rest. And sometimes the best and the worst of God's servants, and that just means Christians, people that serve God, sometimes they sleep or rest. If you say they're good people, they're weary. If you say, well, they're bad people, then they're lazy. But there's always some time in that, in the course of life, when God's people rest or are not as vigilant as they should be. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. But people do get weary. And a day like today, I know when Brother Gary came in, we said it's one of those days where you can just try to keep going and keep going. Even right now, the relaxing sound of rain and the sultry sound of my voice is lulling you to sleep. But there are always days like that where, you know, there are days where you care about everything, where you want everything perfectly straight, and you become obsessive compulsive, and you cannot focus until every little detail is right. And then there's other days where you just have to get through the day, and it doesn't matter, as long as, you know, somebody's not attacking you, you can make it through. But people do get weary. People get distracted. Hopefully not many of us have done this, but you'll see somebody driving down the road and they have a little thing in their eye, and they're looking in the mirror and trying to get that one little speck out of their eye, or adjust their lipstick, or adjust their radio. And meanwhile, you know, mayhem is happening all around them, but all they're focused on is that little tick in their eye they need to get right. And all of us, no matter how good or how bad we are in the master's eyes, all of us do need rest, and all of us do get weary. And as we'll see, the enemy sneaks in and sows tares. There are times when inconsistencies or things stand out, and there are other times when they don't. And people go through phases. Right now, Chantel, I would say, is nesting. If she's not, you know, trying to take a nap and conserve energy for the baby, then she's adjusting something around the house. Everything is concerned internally and not so much externally. But other times we are very concerned with things that are going on outside of Adam and Chantel and Aaron. So people focus, and it's not necessarily good or bad, but people focus on different things at different times, at different seasons of life. And during those times, for good or for bad, there are opportunities for the devil to step in and sow tares. The Bible, the story calls it here tares or weeds, or things that are not productive, things that are not good, and things that are not what God had in mind when he sowed the seed. You can hurt people without wanting to hurt them. You can hurt people without even trying to hurt them. And the devil will use those limitations and those inconsistencies and those distractions. He will use an opportunity to sow tares in your life or next to you. You might be a wheat and put a tare next to you. But regardless of that, all of us lose focus from time to time, and that's the devil's opportunity. Now, the Apostle Paul talked about this, and I worry about even saying this, because the Apostle Paul talked about his thorn in the flesh, and he said it was a messenger of Satan, and he wanted God to take it away, and he would not do it. And I wanted to apply that to this story, because the master knew that the enemy had come. And as we'll see, he didn't want to disrupt the tares' growth. And the Apostle Paul said, God would not take away this messenger of Satan, 2 Corinthians 12. And he wanted him to take pleasure in his infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So in other words, God had left something in Paul's life that he knew was bad, that he knew hurt him, but he was going to use it for good, to accomplish something in Paul's life, to take away the pride, take away the fact that he might glory in something besides what he should glory in. So why would God allow that to happen? Why would God allow Satan's messenger to come? Or why would God allow tares to be planted next to the good wheat? If you're still in Matthew 13, number one, the seed is good. Number two, sometimes God's servants get weary, or he allows thorns or tares to become among the wheat. Verse 26, when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And one more point after this, but this one's the most important. It takes time, but it is possible to bear fruit next to a tare, for a wheat to grow and bloom next to the seed of the enemy. Here's some things I've heard, not just in the church, but outside the church, even last few weeks, just talking to people. I mean, people call the church and talk to me, which I don't know if it's a good thing or not. If you call the church and nobody's here, it rings to my cell phone, and I might be changing a diaper, or I might be cooking a cheese sandwich, or, you know, doing all manner of things, and I'll answer the phone, and they'll have some question. And these are some of the things I've heard. God can't bless if that person is around. I need a church that meets my needs. I can't get a blessing from that kind of person. And that person is too narrow-minded. That person is too open-minded. That's worldly. That's legalistic. That guy's too nice. That guy's a jerk. We should be doing more, or we should be doing less, but we should do it more often. We need more structure, or we need people to relax. They're majoring on the minors. And most of the time, what's funny is I agree with all of it when they're saying it. It makes sense to me. I think they meant to hurt me. How am I supposed to grow in this environment? So what I want to say is, when this wheat gets planted next to this tare, it's not only possible, but it's probably the only way you're going to grow, because there's always going to be the enemy around us. There's always going to be tares among the wheat, if we know for sure we're wheat. But it's possible. It's probably the only way it's going to happen is you're going to have to grow next to somebody that you don't like or you assume is not like you. The opportunity may never come to be in a perfect field with no weeds where the devil's servant hasn't gotten in. So to decide to grow where you are, because as we'll see, the master's going to say, let them grow. Let them grow together. You probably won't get to sinless perfection. You probably won't get the perfect soil like Jesus told the story before. It probably will not be 100% what you want it to be. But all throughout history, the people that did something didn't wait for perfect circumstances. They found the circumstance they were in, and they did something. Your neighbor might not be a tear. Your neighbor might be a late bloomer. They might be watching you to see if anything happens, to see if they can grow. So you never know, and that's what Jesus goes on to say. Matthew 13, verse 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? Verse 28. He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So number one, the seed is good seed. God's word, the truth in God's word, the truth, if we rightly apply it, is always good. Two, God's servants get weary, or the people that we entrust get tired or distracted, and it might not be for always for bad, it might always be for good, but there is an opportunity for the devil to sow tares. And number three, it is possible, it's probably likely that if you're going to grow and bear fruit, you'll be somewhere around a tear or next to a tear in less than ideal circumstances. So it probably won't ever be perfect, but the master says you can grow next to a tear. God did not plant the tares. The master didn't plant the tares. He said, no, I planted good seed. The enemy planted them, but he does take responsibility for them. If we try to handle them ourselves, that last verse, it will hurt the wheat. He said, if you go and try to pull them up right now, when neither one is fully grown, you're going to hurt both. The master didn't burn his field down. He said, no, there's good seed in that field. So he didn't get rid of the field. And he didn't even go to his enemy's field and burn his enemy's field down, even though he knew somebody else had planted those tares. But he did take responsibility for somebody else's mess. He said, you know what, let it grow, let them grow together, and I'll deal with it. I will deal with it. I'll handle it. He said, the wheat is too important to deal with the tares right now. And since I want good wheat, I want the crop, let the tares grow. I won't let something as insignificant as weeds get in the way. So, talking about growth and talking about the right kind of growth comes from the strength of Christ. For us as a church, for my family as it continues to grow, for people that are learning a new instrument or learning a new language or learning the same one again, or any of us that want to get better from where we are to where we want to get for the next week or the next year, we have to be willing to say we're here to take the strength that God gives us and we're here to grow. Like the tree I talked about, if there's an obstacle, it's not an opportunity for us to stop growing. It's an opportunity for us to either grow in a different direction, wait, or to grow around it, or to grow through it, but it's up to us with God's strength to grow. You might be wheat, and you might be the devil's tare. For all you know, I might be wheat, or I might be the devil's tare, but we both need to grow, because I need to grow. If I am a tare, I'll be the bad guy. Let's say I'm a tare. I need to grow so you can see what I am, and I need to see you grow so I can see what you are. But when we get all grown up, whenever that is, it's still up to the master what he does with us. We both need to grow so the master can tell the difference between the wheat and the tare. The master's servants might get weary. People may get unfocused or be caught off guard when the devil comes. But by God's strength and with what God gives us, even that is not our concern. Our concern is to grow with God's strength. And here's a question. Is my energy invested in trying to figure out who's wheat and who's a tare, which I just talked about, or is my energy in growing? And I thought about this. If all the wheats and tares are looking at each other and trying to figure out which one is which, that's a perfect opportunity for the devil to come back and sow more tares. If everybody is distracted trying to put everybody in a category, that's a great job for when the devil comes back and says, well, while you're working on those, here's some more. You can try to figure them out. Do we spend our time focused on growing or focused on problems? And remember, problems are not for solving. Problems are for growing. And again, if I step in and try to do God's job, am I hurting the wheat or hurting the good crop by trying to do God's job, by trying to do the master's job? All right, so real quickly, I'll go through it. The seed is good. God's seed is good seed, and we don't need to argue about that. Just as was said Sunday, I was going to try to be meaner tonight so everybody would like my sermon, but the seed is good seed. There's nothing wrong with it. It's good if you just share it with everybody you can. And sometimes people get weary or distracted, and it's not because they have the wrong seed or because they are a bad person. They might be tired. They might work so hard, they get tired, and that gives the opportunity for the devil to come in. And it's possible, and it's probably likely, that you'll be growing around somebody that you think is a tare, and it'll be less than ideal. It won't be the perfect world, perfect circumstances. But God didn't plant the tares. He does take responsibility for them. If we try to handle them, it'll hurt the wheat. So verse 30, let both grow together until harvest. And again, God decides when the harvest is. So when the master or God steps out and looks at us or looks at the whole world and says it's harvest time, that's when God takes responsibility for us. Until that time, until the harvest, with God's strength, in the right way, grow. And that's my point. And he hath made everything beautiful in his time. No man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And as soon as we step into God's place and say, this one's wheat, this one's a tare, first of all, we're giving opportunity to the devil to sow more tares, and we're probably going to end up hurting some wheat that God wants to let grow. So that's my whole point tonight. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you listening. We're going to stand and have a word of prayer. We are done a few minutes early. So I'll remind you, if you want to take a few minutes to pray at the altar, that'd be awesome. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. And again, just one parable. We could probably apply it to each of our lives individually, as a church, as a family, as a country, however we want to apply it, as long as it's your truth. Lord, help us to take your truth, apply it to our life, and then take your strength and focus on growing with the strength that you give us. And the more that you give us, help us to trust you. Help us to trust you with it. And help us to grow in your timing, in your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.